Anybody glad to be here?
Amen.
All right. If not, we'll pray for you. By the end of the service, you will be.
Amen.
Or you wish you were, right? 63 is not what I was thinking, but it's right here. And it's 63 in your blue book.
63 in your blue book.
Thank you.
2:18, bring my children home.
What will it be when we hear that?
Thank you.
I'm glad that one of these days, just over in the glory land, we'll stay. You know, that's the awesome thing about it. Anybody ever love to go on a good vacation? I mean, a good vacation. Not where you go work. Not where you go wear yourself out. But where you go and just have a good vacation. Just kind of relax and think. And it's always hard to leave a good vacation. One of these days, we're going to the best vacation spot there is.
Amen.
And we'll never leave there. We'll never get tired of the activity there. You think about that. And as Brother Don has said many times, I don't know what's going to be at the marriage supper, but whatever it is, everybody will like it.
Amen.
And we'll eat our fill and never be filled because we'll enjoy eating. I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to heaven. Am I ready to go? Yes, I am. Do I want the Lord to come right now? No, I don't. I've got lost loved ones.
Amen.
I've got lost friends. And I'm sure you do too. So we ought to be very careful when we start saying, boy, I wish the Lord would come right now. And think about what it is that we're asking Him to do. So just pray this morning for everybody on a prayer request list. Again, lift up Sister Donna Arnold in your prayers. Brother Tim in your prayers as he'll be coming. Next week, the week after that. Anyways, we've got an MRI. We ask you to remember us. I do appreciate all your prayers for Lynetta. She is, as you can see, better this morning and here with us. Hunter, my nephew, they did remove his ear in order to fix the problems, and they put it back. And I don't know how all that works, but thank God they can put it back, right? But anyways, keep him in your prayers this morning as well. Remember Jason in your prayers this morning. Lift him up this morning. Hopefully he gets to come home today. All right. Remember that. Anybody else this morning?
My sister-in-law Brenda has to have a stress test Tuesday week, April 5th.
Brenda Finn.
We had to take Tammy to the hospital yesterday afternoon, and she's got strep throat.
Anybody else? Member Bill McAfee.
He's having thyroid problems.
All right. Anybody else? Unspoken then. Amen. If you would stand with us this morning, we'll go to the Lord in prayer for ushers. Come forward. Father, we thank you today for your love, your mercy, and grace. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be in your house, Lord, and for each one who's here. Ask you, Lord, this morning to help us to do thy will, to praise, worship, and honor, and glorify thy name. Lord, ask you today that you would draw us close to thee and one to another. Dear God, I ask you this morning that you just help us, Father, to, Lord, lean upon you strongly. Dear God, Father, Lord, not so that we feel like we will fail, but, Father, so that we'll know we won't. And, God, just clinging tight and holding close to your word, dear God, that we might lead somebody to you. Father, asking you, dear God, to send a lost soul our way that might be saved. Dear God, we ask you this morning, bless the offering, let it be used for thy glory, for thine honor, and for thy praise. And we'll give you glory, honor, and praise in Christ's holy name. And amen. Amen.
Thank you.
do page, well, no. We're going to do what a meeting.
It doesn't matter what page is on this. What a meeting.
You think about it, Glory Land is not so far away. The Bible says we have not a high priest which cannot be reached with the feelings of our infirmities. And you think about this, we have him. That's what it says. We have a high priest. Not that we don't, but that we have one that will be reached.
Glory to God.
Thank you. I'm so thankful this morning that my God is great, wonderful. You know, John said that if we was to try to write the whole of what Jesus had done, that they couldn't do it. Well, we tried to write the description of how good God is, we couldn't do it. You think about that. God is so good that when Jesus said there's none good but one, and that's God, that word meant something more than we even comprehend. And you thought to think this morning, we think sometimes we've got a grasp on the English language, right? You know, we know a few things here and there, what it says, but I'll tell you what, sometimes I think we're a little lacking in what our understanding of some things are simply because of how wonderful God is. And we can't put it into our words, but we're glad this morning that we don't have to try to describe it. Rather, we just need to receive it. It's kind of like that verse, the Bible says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Somebody say, well, Brother Ernie, I don't get it. Well, you may not get it, but I got it, and I'm glad I have it. You know, I don't understand it, how it can be, but I know this, God can do the impossible. So therefore, with God, there's nothing impossible. If you have your Bibles this morning, I ask you would go with us to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Would you stand as we read in the Word of God? And we're going to preach with the best of our ability and the Lord's help this morning, a thought of what I need. I want you to think about that this morning, what I need. And we'll put that in perspective in just a second. So in Philippians chapter 4, reading in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Father, this morning I thank You, Lord, for Your love, Your mercy and grace. Thank You, dear God, for everything You've done for us. Lord, just ask You this morning to let Your will be done in our lives. Father, help us in the preaching of the Word. Dear God, I pray this morning that we would just say all that which You'd have us to and nothing more, nothing less. God, thank You for being in our presence this morning through the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, I'm so glad what I feel today and what I know. And Lord, more importantly, let me just say this morning what I know. Because sometimes, God, I just don't feel. But God, I always know. And so I thank You for that this morning. And I ask You, dear God, help us, we pray in Jesus' blessed name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you ever have that problem where you don't feel, so you have to rely upon what you know? And you think about that. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You think about it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we don't see what we think we would hope to see or the things that would make us feel like what we're seeing is going to get us through. Sometimes what we're seeing really kind of becomes a hindrance to us. So we have to go back and rely upon what we know. And you think about this morning. I thought about it a little bit. The disciples were sent out to sea, right? They're out there. The Bible says that Jesus is in the hind part of the ship. He's asleep, right? So let me ask you a question. When Jesus got up, they come and said, "Lord, Master, careth not that we perish?" And He rebuked the winds and the seas. And then He said to them, "O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" You know, think about it. This ship's not going down as long as I'm on it. And think about it this way. If it does go down, is anybody going to be in trouble as long as they're trusting in Jesus? He's the greatest lifeboat you could ever have. I'm just saying this morning, I thought about that a few times. I thought, why did they get so scared with Jesus so close? They got their eyes on what they saw and forgot what they knew. Can I tell you, church, sometimes we forget what we know and we start looking at what we see. And if we don't realize that what we see is temporary and is in the hand of God, we'll forget what we know and who we know. And my God is able to do all things. I'm just going to tell you that this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. And we think about this a lot. But anyways, let's go backwards just a few verses here to verse 1, and we'll go through here, and we'll cover this morning a little bit. But think about the thought, what I need. Because I know this, we all know what we want most of the time. There are some times when you're trying to figure out what you want to eat, you can't figure it out. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. And we can play that game for 30 minutes and get mad, and then we finally just say, well, I don't care. You know? But here's the truth. I know what I need is Jesus. I know what I want is Jesus. As long as I keep those things in place, I'm all right. But sometimes my want out, and I don't want to say out, but let's say sometimes my want confuses my need. And I get my eyes in the wrong place. He said, therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved brother, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 1 tells us to do something. Stand fast. The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the Lord. For you know as much as your labor is not in vain in Christ Jesus. Now think about this. Stand fast in your salvation. Stand fast in your faith. Stand fast in what you know, church. Because what you know for a fact will get you through in a time of need. I beseech Aetius and beseech Cynthia that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, you true yoke fellow, that help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Now here's something else, church. I want you to think about this. We need one another. The Bible tells us in Hebrew not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Remember what I said just a while ago. We need to have more things going on. We need to do more things. Not just to do them, but if all we ever do is meet once a week or twice a week or three times a week, and right now that third time is only on a Facebook or sermon audio or by phone and think about it this way, I have no problem doing that, but this is the deal. If we don't do more than that, we will die. It's going to happen. Why, Brother Ernie? Because we're not getting together to encourage one another. And you're not hearing anybody but me sometimes. And I'm going to say something to you this morning. I feel pretty good about what I'm doing right now. I feel very blessed in what God's been doing with me lately. But I still need to hear somebody besides me. And so do you, church. It's just the way it needs to be. So we got some things going on. You say, well, Brother Ernie, why are you so hard on this? Because I'm just telling you, church, we need to be alive. Even if nobody else comes in, we need to be alive. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be right with God. It is my duty to try to tell you to get right, be right, stay right, hold right, and rejoice and prepare. But listen to me. We got to do this. Anyways, he goes on. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Church, listen, that we need to rejoice in God. We need to rejoice in what, again, if we rejoice in what we know, we won't be so distracted by what we see. Because sometimes if we get down what we call the mully grubs, have you ever done this? You're in the mully grubs and everything seems to be going bad no matter what is going good. You stop to think about that. Yesterday, let me tell you something. I want to testify. I won't tell you the facts. I'll just tell you the story. Yesterday, we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do. Just, you know, so we got and we went somewhere, and then we went somewhere else, and then we went somewhere else. And when we were somewhere else, we decided that it was time to check out. So we went to check out, and here comes this lady. You ever been in the store when you got two things in your hand, and somebody else got a basket full, and they're in front of you? Every so often, you run into that polite one that says, hey, you go ahead. But most of the time, they just go ahead and they go right on through. They don't care that you've got two things and they've got 400 things. But this lady, she come up, she stopped, she looked, and she said, go ahead. I said, all right, thank you. So we went ahead. We got in there, and I was thinking to myself, Lord, there ought to be some way to say thank you to this lady who just done that. And so I'm just listening to the conversation going on behind me. And she's bringing up something, and the guy said, "Well, actually, it's this much." He said, "Do you still want it?" She said, "Yeah." So I turned around, and out of the goodness of my heart, I gave her a blessing. And I just said, "You get a discount today." And that's all I'm going to say about that part. You get a discount. And she started rejoicing loudly in the store. People around her could hear what she was saying. "I've been blessed. I did this. Hallelujah." I mean, she was just with it. And so we went on down there, and I told Netta what we'd done. We went on. We was good to go. We was having a good time. We went someplace else later on. We was buying some stuff that was on sale. We got up to the register. It rung up, and the girl goes, "Wait a second. I think I got a coupon." And she coupons that. And twice as much as I discounted her, I got it discounted for her. And I'm just telling you something, church. See, you can't outdo God. God knows what you... If you start walking by what you see, though, you'll forget what you know. Because it wasn't long after that the Razorbacks lost. I got frustrated. I mean, literally, think about it, church. You say, "Brother Ernie, that's silly." No, listen to me. We will have a rejoicing time and thank God for so much, and then something little insignificant happens, and all of a sudden we forget what we know because of what we see. And also we'll forget what we need because of what we want. Think about that, church. He goes on and said, "Let your admonition be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Christ is here, church. The Spirit of God is here. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I'm here to tell you, church, that there are things that people go through, and you and I try to figure out how in the world they're getting through it. Let me just tell you why this morning. Because the peace of God is keeping them, and the peace of God passes all understanding. I don't understand how in the world this could be going on. Hey, but I'm glad this morning to know this, that while the world may fall apart, and it will, while this body may fall apart, and it will, while everything may go away, and it will, I know that my faith and my trust in Christ Jesus, if I hold there, will stand sure, stand fast, and will last. And one day when everything else is done, I'm still going to be at home with Him. You think about that in your lives this morning, church. "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are, are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, or if there be any praise, think on these things." Why? Because they will not drag you down. Instead, they will lift you up. They will not make you weak, but they will make you strong. And by the way, they will not make you sad, but they will make you happy. And let me tell you something else. They won't make you tired, they'll make you lively. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we get so tired we can't see life. Think about it this way. And here we go on. Think about things this morning. He said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly now in the last care, for your care is first again, wherein ye are careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Whew, church. That one hits hard, doesn't it? Whatsoever state you're in, there to be content. I want to be content in the Lord. Because I know this, in this world I will not be content. All of my wants will never be satisfied. Because no matter what I get, I will always want something else. Until I realize that all I need is Jesus. That's all I need, church. That's all you need. Going on, he said, "I know how both to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In other words, you can accomplish it if you'll put your faith in Him. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Even the Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that I may abound to your account, or that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphras the things which were sent unto me, and order of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. But my God shall supply all your need. Now look at that carefully, church. All your need. All your need. That's important. God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what is your need this morning? First and foremost, salvation. Think about it. Do you have air to breathe? If you didn't, you would be dead. Do you have a nose to breathe your air? If you didn't, you would be dead. Do you have food? If you didn't, you'd be dead. You have water? If you didn't, you'd be dead. Think about this. Everything is put out there before us in creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, He began to look at everything that was necessary and needful. By the way, think about it this way. God knew that you and I needed something, and He provided it, right? So the earth was already there. The heavens were there. The air was there. Everything's there. Matter of fact, going along, I will say this. Going along, God supplied some luxuries. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And God, think about this. And Adam gave names to the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet. But in verse 18, God said, I will make for him a helpmeet. Why is God good that he should be alone? And so God made for me a helpmeet. Now on September the 6th in 1972, her parents had no idea that she, Lynetta, was going to be my helpmeet. Adam had no idea that God was going to put him to sleep, take away one of his ribs, and give him Eve. And when he saw her, he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. And God gave Adam a helpmeet. And God gave me a helpmeet. Now, it's not everybody who can live alone. I'm going to tell you something. Some folks, they can live alone. They don't have to have a helpmeet. But I needed one. God made me one. I praise God for every day. When the devil tries to say something about, you know, she's not going to be here forever, I just remind him this way. We'll grow old together, and hopefully we'll go home together. But if not, she's with me now. She's my helpmeet. That's what I'm counting on. In Matthew, it says this in Matthew chapter 6, in the 25th verse, and you go over there. We read these all the time. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on it. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? And I'm going to tell you something, church. We spend more time focusing on those things than we do anything else almost. And we also think about it this way. We'll say this, I've heard this. I have nothing to wear while looking at a closet full of clothes. Huh? I've got nothing to eat while looking at a cupboard full of food. And by the way, have you ever done this? Open your refrigerator door, or if it's two doors, you can see just as good through one as you can the other, but you'll open them both up. There's nothing in here. And there's a lot of stuff in there. It's just that you don't want to cook that. You'll pull out the freezer. There's nothing in here. Well, let me just say this. If your cupboard is bare, your refrigerator is bare, and your freezer is bare, see me after church and we'll get take care of. But most of the time, it's not bare. It's just that it's not what we want. It's not convenient. It's not easy. It don't sound good. I mean, we got all these excuses there. But listen to me. The Bible just said your life is more than raiment. And your life is more than food. And by the way, the Bible tells us that God has supplied our needs according to His riches and glory. And by the way, if we stop to think about it this way, I don't need food. I need Jesus. If I die without food, I still stand before God. I still give an account unto God for my life. I give an account unto God for what I've done with Jesus Christ. If I die without food and I stand there and I have Jesus, I've got eternal life. I got everything I need. But without Jesus, I've not got anything I need. That's the simplicity of a church. I don't care what you surround yourself with. I don't care how full your cupboards are. I don't care if you got a root cellar full of everything. If you die without Jesus, you died, lost, undone, and you don't have what you need. Because when you stand before God, He's not going to tell you, good job in your savings, good job in your cupboards, good job in your root cellar, good job in your garden. He's going to look at you and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Because you didn't have Jesus. And that's what you need. Think about it this morning, church. He goes on. He said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? I'm going to tell you for a fact, I've tried that. It does not work. I was 4'8", and I was in junior high school, and I was the shortest kid almost in the whole school, except for one girl who was shorter than me. And I'm going to tell you, it's bad to be the shortest boy in school just about. Because all you can do is look at the shortest girl, and she looks at you, and she says, I'm not dating you. You're the shortest one in school. I'm going for the tall guy. You know, I'm just having a little fun there, but think about it for a second. How is it, though, when you're the shortest guy in school, and you want to go to the school dance, and I'm not recommending it, but you have to look up. She's looking down. She says, I ain't going to dance with you. Think about it, church. I'm the smallest person there could be in the whole entire of the world, and Jesus is taking time to look down at me and say, son, I love you. I want you. Hey, let's go together. By the way, I don't care how tall you are. I don't care anything about anything of your stature. I don't care how much you weigh or you don't weigh. He don't look at that. He didn't care how much hair I had on my head. By the way, I guess I'm getting prettier every day, because you've heard the old saying, God made a few perfect heads and the rest He put hair on, right? So I must be getting better every day, because it's getting fewer and fewer hairs. But look at what it's saying. God said, take no thought for these things. Why? Because those are the things we're thinking about. Put those behind. What is most important in your life? What I have. What I need. Go on. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And Solomon had it all, but had nothing when he got away from Jesus. He got away from God. As a matter of fact, that's why he wrote, vanity of vanity. All is vanity. He looked across his riches, his kingdom, and everything, and basically said this, it's worthless. Absolutely worthless. What I need is God. Got to have my faith in God. And yet I say unto you, think about this. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I'm telling you this morning, I've got enough suits to get me through even if I lose five of them. What are you saying, Brother Ernie? I've got one more left. If my house burnt down today and I lost everything there except for my kids, I hope they'd get out. Everything else is gone. Would I have lost everything? No. No, wouldn't it? Why? Because my kids and my wife were all safe. Some people say, well, all I got out with was the clothes on my back. At least I had the clothes on my back when I got out. You think about it this morning, church. So what does that mean? God still supplied what I needed. It was still there. It was already. But what I really need is Jesus. So if I get out and I don't even have the clothes on my back, what do I got if I've got Jesus? Everything I need. God will supply all of my need. Do you realize we always say all of my needs? Read the word. All my need. Not needs. Why? Because I can have a needy list if you're not careful. He promised me in this. He said, think about it. Wherefore, if God did this, this is what He did. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or whether shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. And your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I like this. See what it is in here. God will supply my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I need Christ. And everything else is things. And these things God will give me. Because He knows that there are things that I need to have. But my need is Christ Jesus. All my need according to His riches and glory by, not Walmart, not Kmart, not Sears, not Dillard's, not JCPenney's, not by Walgreens, not by Costco, not by whatever you go on, by what? Christ Jesus. By the cross, by the Word, by the Spirit of God that liveth and abideth in me when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I got these things, church, but all these things we know, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Proverbs 18 and 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm thankful this morning, church. I understand God gave me Jesus. You realize that? God gave me a friend. That we think we need friends. We got one that sticketh closer than a brother. We think we have things, needs of things, clothing, so forth. He said, you got that. Don't worry about it. John 15 says this, I am the true vine, my Father is the husband. He every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. By the way, we need this. Abide in me and I and you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself to excite to abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. What is clothing without Christ? Just an outside cover. Because the problem's not what's going on right here. What you see, you know. It's what's going on right here. By the way, when you get this cleaned up, this clean up too. It's amazing when people get saved what they'll change and what they'll do. Had a guy one time come to revival service in Pea Ridge. Comes in a wheelchair. Wheels himself in. Young man, I don't know, in his 20s, if I remember correctly. He shows up in a wheelchair. We notice on the way out, he's got one of them stickers on the back of his wheelchair that a lot of people put on their trucks. And it ain't good. He comes back the next night. He wheels in there. Nobody said anything to him. I didn't even say anything to him about that sticker on the back of his wheelchair. I mean, he's lost. He's there the next night. Wheels out. Third night of revival, here he comes again. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to look at that sticker one more time. But that night he gets saved. On his way out, he wants that sticker removed. You get right here. This will change. By the way, you ever thought about this way? I've seen bumper stickers that says, I love Jesus. Honk if you love Jesus. And they drive as if they're going to kill you and make you meet Jesus. Think about it. Or maybe you got one on your car and you drive like you're going to make them meet Jesus. And they say, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. Church, we think about this. Places we'll go And we think about where we go. We try to tell people about Jesus, and then we show up where they're at. Drives me insane. I mean, talk about Jesus, play the piano for Jesus, sing for Jesus, and the next time you see them, they're at a Tim McGraw concert. They at an AC/DC concert. They talking about their Def Leppard music. I mean, just think about it for a second. I mean, just honest and truly answer the question. Are you going to sing Achy Breaky Heart today and sing How Happy Your Heart Is in Jesus tomorrow, and then tell somebody who's around there with the echo, hey, you need to put your faith in Jesus? Well, what are you doing on this side of the road if you belong on that side of the road? Jesus tells us, come out and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And we think, well, you know what, Brother Ernie, a little don't hurt. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. You do not want to drink arsenic in anything you have, right? And we do anyways. There's some things that have arsenic. We don't even think about it. Ladies, you put bat poop on your eyes when you put on makeup. There's things going on there. But would you eat it? And yet we do it. The Bible says these things ought not to be. Think about it for a second. What do you need? Separation. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. And by the way, I just got a few more here and we'll wind it up. I appreciate your patience in letting me go through these things. Ephesians chapter 2. Think about this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had your conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, but and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in His mercy and His great love, wherein He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved. We say that in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We love that, but listen to me, church. We think about all the things that we want. We think about all the things that we need, but what God has told us, He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And what we need is salvation, eternal life through Christ Jesus. That is only by Christ Jesus. Everything else is a want. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. There is therefore no condemnation now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, but seek you first the kingdom of God. For the law of the Spirit in Christ, for the law of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Think about that, life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What do I need to please God? Christ Jesus! For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do I get there, Brother Arnie? John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm so glad this morning, church, it's not a mystery. I can get there by Jesus. I get it all by Jesus. You say, Brother Ernie, what is all? Everything that God wants to give me and everything that I need. Salvation, life eternal. The blood of Christ applied to my life. The washing away of my sins. The forgiving. The leading, the guiding, the protecting. Well, you couldn't handle this other's message I got this morning. Because I'm not ready to give it yet. But it's just a fingertip of what God is and who He is. Church, I'm telling you something. Everything you and I need is Christ. It's Christ. And if you get Christ, everything else is there. I promise you that. Just put your faith and your trust in Christ. Would you stand this morning? Father, I thank you today for your love, your mercy, and grace. Thank you, dear God, today for the blessings you give us, Lord, for the love you bound us and surround us with, dear God. Father, I ask you this morning that you would anoint and touch every heart that is here. God, help us, Lord, today to lean upon you, trust in you, and follow you. God, let it be so today, dear Lord, that we'll magnify your name. Lord, if there be one lost, I pray, dear God, today they'll be saved. One backslidden, dear God, they come forth, dear God, and get right with you. And Father, every child of God, no matter where they think they are, Lord, would always, Father, realize that moving closer to you is the greatest things we can do. And we'll praise you, Father. We'll thank you, Father, and help us, Lord, to do it in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. If you got it,